That is the theme song to the best political half hour on television, The Circus, which is seen on Showtime, returns on, Mark McKinnon, who's one of the executive producers of it. Is it on Labor Day weekend that you return, or the weekend right
it's
after?
Actually, September 11th.
September 11th.
So we'll start filming Labor Day and shoot all that week, and we'll be up on the 11th, yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about the news that is now developing, and it's a little confusing here. You saw yesterday that Donald Trump, his spokesperson, his new campaign director is also kind of the front person, Kellyanne Conway. Thank you very much for the clarification. She was on the ABC morning show yesterday and was asked, well, wait, now where are we really going to be here? Where are we going to be on this immigration deal? Is there going to be a deportation force? Because he had talked about that before after one of the debates. Is there a deportation force? And to be determined. So what, as a guy who's been around a lot of campaigns and now covering them as a documentarian, what do you make of that? Is he going to change, or has he heard from the people that he disappointed in that, or what's happening there?
Well, there's so much happening, and it is very confusing because there's so many conflicting signals. I mean, what happened before this development was that Paul Manafort, the second campaign manager, was fired. And the new campaign manager is a guy who comes from Breitbart News and is very, we call him alt-conservatives. I mean, he is a true, you know, hardcore on immigration, hardcore on sort of a, you know, nationalistic sort of, you know, America first sort of profile. You know, just reinforcing all the sort of hardline stuff that you'd expect on Donald Trump. So it was kind of unusual because he had a speech right after he fired Manafort where he sort of tempered his tone a little bit, which is what Manafort had been arguing for. So right after he fires Manafort, he does what Manafort asked him to do, which seems contrary to what the new campaign manager, Stephen Breitbart, Stephen Bannon,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From Breitbart,
would be promoting. And then you have Kellyanne Conway go on tempering the language on the immigration stuff, and now they're walking that all back again. And so it's very unclear. You know, I think that there are, you know, I think Kellyanne Conway's instincts are to temper things a bit, but, you know, it's just unclear where things are going to land now that you have both Kellyanne Conway as the campaign manager and Stephen Bannon as the campaign chairman, I guess is his title.
That's what's so surprising to Mark, because the stories have been over the weekend that he's going to shift his tone and make it a fairer approach. And, you know, from the position of deporting 11 million immigrants and banning all Muslims and that kind of thing, that he's now going to come up with more of a plan that's more toward the center was the way it was promoted. We haven't heard
well,
it yet.
But completely contrary to that, the reason that it's been described that he fired Manafort was because Manafort had said to the New York Times the week before, we're going to change, you know, Trump's tone. We're going to try and pivot a little bit to the middle. And that's why, you know, that's fundamentally why he got fired.
Well, don't you think?
No, I'm not going to do that.
I think fundamentally he got fired because all of a sudden he became a distraction, right? With all of that.
Well, that's true.
Other
no,
stuff.
True. That is true. That was part of it.
And I have a theory on this. You ready for my theory?
Let's hear it.
All right.
We need a theory to hold this thing together.
Trump is a guy who doesn't like to be told things, right? He doesn't want to be told he's wrong about something or be corrected. So, the guy that he fires because he's a distraction, he starts listening to because the guy's not telling him anything because he controlled that. All right, you're out. You're a distraction. You're out. So I don't have to listen to you anymore telling me this, but now you're gone, so I'm going to take that advice because I kind of think it's good advice. New guy comes in, see this Bannon guy, and is like, you know what you need to do? I don't know what he sounds like, but I imagine it's like a dangerous-sounding guy. You know what you need to do here is to go really hard. Maybe we kill somebody on Fifth Avenue, like you said, right? And Trump's like, I'm not listening to you, okay? It's sort of like whoever's telling him, he wants to listen to the last guy. It's like the ex-wife was always right in this case.
No, I know, and he apparently calls the campaign manager before Manafort, Corey Lewandowski, who was fired before Manafort, but I guess still talks to him, too.
Yeah. So my guess is that there's a lot swirling around in his head. But now comes the question, and this is the big political question, because you found yourselves. I know that in Bush 2000, George W. Bush 2000, they found them, and actually probably even more impressively in 2004, found a circumstance where there were some really interesting moments that they had that those both of those campaigns had to pivot on, right? And I just wonder if you what do you take out of this? Can Donald Trump moderate or even reverse himself on deportation and a deportation force and building of a wall without losing his core support? Or are they just going to be with him?
That's the problem. And I think that's why Trump kind of reeled it back in, because the base started reacting to those initial comments from Kellyanne Conway. And so that's why he's conflicted, and in order to keep the base happy, he's got to kind of keep that hard line. But in order to get more general election voters, he's got to move that line. So, one thing that's interesting, I think, is the last and best chance for Trump to change the equation will be at that first debate, which I think will be the most watched television event in definitely U.S. history, maybe world history, because I think there'll be a ton of global interest in that. And it's interesting to note that there are reports that both Hillary Clinton, which is no surprise, but also Trump has actually started preparing for the debate. And actually going through some briefing books and working with Roger Ailes, which is pretty interesting.
That is. You wonder if it would even be taken seriously, though, if he shifts his immigration policy to make a more fairer or just shifts the tone. Because you see the Clinton campaign already mobilizing Latino voters in key swing states and doing an amazing job with that. And it doesn't – I don't know if this close to an election, Mark, do you think he really can change people's minds?
It gets to a point where if you do change, it just looks opportunistic. I mean, if you wait this late – and part of the problem is you what you want to do. I mean, this is why we tore up John Kerry so badly. He was just so inconsistent. People want to know that, even if they disagree with you. I mean, and this is what was, we got a lot of support for George W. Bush in 2004, even from people who disagreed with us, just because at least he was consistent, where John Kerry wasn't.
It's a brilliant thing, actually, that the Bush this will be studied in political science classes for the next 100 years, what the Bush campaign did to Kerry in 2004 with that flip-flop thing, with that parasailing ad that he was doing, where they actually sent a guy to, what is it, Western Pennsylvania or whatever, when he landed, to ask a question first thing in the morning, and they placed a question in front of him that he couldn't answer properly. Well, I said this before I said that, kind of an answer. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know,
I
voted for it before I voted against it, and boom! That's the moment that changed everything. And so Mark, let me ask you a question. Again, you've been around this. Wouldn't you love to run against Hillary Clinton this year with a good candidate? I mean, the news that comes out every day.
And more email stories today.
Here's a number. Exactly. I mean, she is so vulnerable to almost any nominee. Here's an amazing number for you. I have a couple numbers. 6 and 11. 6 and 11 is the percentages is the perception that people have for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton for being honest and trustworthy. 6% think Hillary Clinton is honest and trustworthy. 11 think Trump is. And here's another interesting one. 6% is the number of voters who actually voted for Trump or Clinton through the whole, as a representation of the total numbers of people who will actually vote in the fall. Only 6% of those people actually voted for these two. Now, here's my favorite latest number that was just reported. The Trump campaign spent $400,000 on field organizing in July and $1.8 million on hats.
Oh, no.
See,
is that the right place to spend the money right now?
Yeah. Well, and they're also getting killed on the air. These last 3 weeks since the conventions, they haven't been on the air. The Trump campaign hasn't been on TV running their spots in battleground states, whereas Hillary Clinton has. And that seems to have moved the needle toward her. The stories that are coming out, here's another problem that Donald Trump has. They've got today, the story should be about more of the emails coming out. Colin Powell turning on her and saying, no, I didn't tell her it was okay.
Fascinating.
Right? Yeah. So you got all these different, it's just, she's having a terrible day. But what does he do? He, as a Morning Joe, says something bad about him this morning on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm. He goes on
a Twitter rant on Mika and now everybody goes, oh, look at him, he's unstable again. As opposed to sit back, and I think that unfortunately Kellyanne Conway didn't help the situation yesterday by changing the tone on where they're going to be with immigration. If they had stayed off television yesterday and gone Rose Garden on them, they would have been fine. I think Trump would have had a very good 2 or 3 days here. He's just stay away from himself.
No question. I mean, there were a lot of developments on that email front, which, again, just is more evidence about how vulnerable Hillary Clinton is. And, you know, listen, I mean, there's a lot more emails that we're going to see. There's a lot of allegations about the Clinton Foundation. So there's a lot more that could happen. And, you know, as it's not probable, but given the way things are, you know, when you're running against an opponent who has only a 6% perception of being honest and trustworthy, you've still got a chance.
Absolutely. This thing is not over. I don't care. Everybody's going, well, Trump looks like he's going to lose, and the Republicans are going to pair off. Republicans are going to pair off anyway because it's a non-winner in a lot of other states. But this is in non-battleground states. Republicans are not going to spend a lot of money trying to help Trump because they want to help. If it's not a battleground state, that means it's a blue state, and they need to save whatever Republicans are in that state. So they'll do that. But in the meantime, there is every chance. I would still say, I like when the New York Times whistling in the graveyard says, oh, there's only a 12% chance of him winning. I would say that there's a 40% chance of him winning. So
sure,
we'll just have to see what happens. Mark, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again. The circus comes back September 11th, and we'll talk to Mark before that as well. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Happy it's coming
back. Kick it hard.
Kick it hard. That's what we do.
Kick it hard.
Violetta's going to kick it hard with the WGN traffic right now.